Right now it is time for positive things. It is time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frick and frack of Nick and Knack. Of course, you can find them at tqag.com on the web, and they join us every Tuesday, well, when I'm at work and not sick. Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
How you guys get the cold weather down there? You guys have iguanas flying in Florida?
Well, in Florida right now it is 60.
Okay.
Which is not bad. But where Tim is.
Yeah, where I am, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, and it is 25 degrees.
Well, you're in Cincinnati Bengal Company also. You know, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Even though people in Cleveland hate Cincinnati. But
what's it? Right. No, but because, you know, the Browns are the Browns, they just have at least an Ohio team to cheer for. So it's not a bit, you know, they're all happy. Everyone was happy that at least the Bengals are going for the first time in, what is it, 30 years?
I think the last time they went, one of the NFL Robert announcers was a quarterback, and Icky Woods did the Icky Shuffle, and it was a long, long time ago. So, but
wasn't Grover Cleveland president?
He might have been, or else it might have been some other big, heavy white guy. Because up until Barack Obama, they were always big, heavy white guys that were.
That's it.
Well, anyway, I've got a list of things here that go from the sublime to the ridiculous, and so we'll start off with the sublime first of all. We talked about this a while ago. Now, this is amazing. This is a 2023 Chevy Corvette Z06. This is next year's model, okay? Barrett Jackson Auto, $3.6 million for a car that has not been released yet. It was done for charity, and that's just an amazing amount of money for a car that is yet to come out and, of course, have other automobiles. But maybe it's number one of one. I don't know.
Oh, that's that just seems ridiculous.
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. VIN number 001. So it's the 70th anniversary edition, VIN number 001. That explains it all.
And also the money is going to charity, so understand that, you know, it can be a little more inflated because of that. It is a cool car. I see the photograph. And it was expected to fetch over $1 million, but of course, the money is now going to Operation Homefront, and it's a charity that assists military veterans and their needs as they transition back into civilian life. So that's, you know, it's they must have got a lot of people behind it. And, you know, this is what auction is all about. It just takes two bidders.
It's amazing. And you bring that up. I want to put a plug in here for Jon Stewart. He has a new show on Apple TV called The Problem with Jon Stewart. And he looks at stories, right? And his first show was on how the veterans are not getting coverage for being by burn pits in both the Iraqi war and Afghanistan. So I just wanted to pass that along. If you haven't seen it yet, Apple TV, you can get it. It is called The Problem with Jon Stewart, and it is an amazing show that deals with problems with the veterans and the Veterans Administration and getting the services they need.
Well, one of the issues that I have with something like this Corvette selling for the cause, great cause, but my question is, and it always is, at these type of auctions, we never really know exactly how much ends up going to the charity. And that really is what frosts my grapes about these sort of things, the hype and everything. So they raised all this money, but now if the $3.6 million they raised would be great if it went to the charity, but how, you know.
I can tell you right now, guaranteed 100% of the hammer price is going to the charity. That was disclosed, 100% of the hammer price.
It was disclosed, and they did that last year. They also sold another car, and $3 million went to the Detroit Children's Fund. So this is something that they have done, Greg. So it is, we know that that money's going there.
Now, I did say from the sublime to the ridiculous, okay? So cool. Now we are going to go to the ridiculous.
Got it.
Okay, you guys all know who Antonio Brown is?
No, I don't.
Okay, Antonio Brown was the receiver that left the game mid-game, taking off his shirt and ran off the field and left for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the New York Jets, okay? Okay. The gloves that he wore are coming up for auction. Okay? Now listen to this. It's an online auction being held at Leland Sports Memorabilia and Card Auctions. It was posted on Sunday night with a starting bid of $81. Now, the reason that's the jersey number he wore for the Buccaneers.
Right.
They claim the glove is a tangible momentum from an iconic NFL moment. The auction will end February 12th. The current bid now is up to $1,420. That is definitely from the sublime to the ridiculous.
Well, okay, and I'm going to take it one step further, because there was also one of our favorites, an NFT, the Nifty, you know, the non-fungible token of Antonio Brown's sideline implosion, that went for $20,000 when they auctioned that off.
This is why the Arab world hates us. I'm telling you, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Things like this, they just can't comprehend. As a matter of fact, sometimes I can't comprehend. But at least you gave me the double shot of ridiculous.
There you go.
Well, this is kind of in between. This isn't sublime and it's not ridiculous. It's somewhere in the middle. Heritage has, they had an auction the other day on the 28th, and it was for, the video games. You're a video game. You do video games, don't you, Marshall?
I used to. I haven't done it in years, but yes, I used to be a big video game junkie. Yes.
Okay. What was your favorite?
I want to say my favorite was Madden Football. Yeah, you know, any version of Madden Football. It's a game that not only entertains, but it teaches young people different formations and actually how to play the game. So Madden Football would be
funny
my favorite.
You should mention that, because that was the number one seller at the sale.
There you go.
You have any idea what it sold for?
I have no idea. How much did it sell for?
$480,000.
Doesn't surprise me. The man, John Madden, you don't have to be a football fan to know who John Madden is. That's the whole thing about the guy. He became bigger than life. Also, by traveling around the country on a bus, he used to stop and talk to everybody over the course of 20 years, and he became bigger than life. And he came up with this idea of this video game, not only to be fun, but to be instructive, and his broadcasting career. So, you know what? That doesn't surprise me. What year Madden game was it? Does it say what year?
Yeah, it was 1990.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, wow.
And the second most popular game was something called Sonic Hedgehog. Miss Pac-Man, I only know because that's Tim's favorite game.
And also, it was in every Pizza Hut part across the country.
Yeah. And never played video games. I can honestly say that I have never gotten. I didn't even know what some of these things were. But Sonic Hedgehog is another popular game, and it sold for $240,000, and it was from the 1991 early production printed in Japan. Now, and it was rated as a B+ on the rating system. So, but $240,000. So it was quite there were a number of them that were six figures, these games, and then they start going down, you know, down in value, but there's still five figure games, a lot of these, the majority of them. So I remember when, how many times have you heard us joke about things like Pokemon?
Yeah.
They are selling like gangbusters. There's a couple of the Pokemon things that sold for over $100,000. So,
So that's a combination of sublime and ridiculous. So we'll call it.
It is.
So we'll call it subliculous. There we go.
So
exactly.
Now let's bring in. I want to bring in some good news here. And that you guys probably know about this already, but Bonhams, they were looking for $60,000 when they were auctioning off Ruth Bader Ginsburg's library.
Oh,
they
yes.
made $2.4 million. Every single lot in the auction sold above its estimate.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of interest, lots of active bidding, lots of people participating. I mean, it really was one of those things that I think also it's timing, but it just goes to show that there's this demand for just the variety of stuff, but also just this library of this individual, and to have all the lots sell, that's pretty amazing.
And they had 1,000 buyers register. 1,000.
Yeah. I read that. Lot of people.
And
the I guess it was the article said that it was over 1,000 personal books, but I think there were also some personal papers and things that were sold. I guess one of the Harvard Law Review it brought $100,000. So that's a lot of money. So. I don't know if who the buyers were or what their intentions are, but I have to assume that a number of these things are going to end up in the Library of Congress. I mean, I don't know. I mean, her documents and things, I don't think those will come up for sale, but I'm not sure how that really works. Do you, Tim?
Well, yeah, I don't know. No, I don't.
I'm sure her Supreme Court stuff is separate from that. But what's interesting about this
Correct. Is
a majority of the people that registered were from America. A majority of them were women, as a matter of fact, when you look into it. And if there's anybody who, over the past 10, 12 years, made a difference in how women were looked at, it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG. There's no doubt about it. Whether you didn't like her rulings on the Supreme Court or not, she got along with conservatives. She got along with liberals. And she was a little of a rebel rouser and did amazing things for this country beyond her service on the Supreme Court. Now, Tim, here's a nightmare question for you. What if you gave an auction and nobody showed up?
In the room, or you mean everywhere, online,
everywhere.
Telephone?
A Korean museum, which was cash-strapped, hoped to raise money by auctioning off two incredible Korean national treasures. They did not get a single bid.
Single bid? Oh, my.
Not one. These are century-old artifacts, and they didn't get one bid. It's pretty amazing. Now
that has to be awful. A record. I mean, that has to be a first. I don't think I've ever heard of any auction not having at least one person there.
It's one of those things that when you do something like that, I always worried when I used to go out and do play music at events. I always said to myself, what if three people show up? I still have to be here for 4 hours.
right.
And play music for three people.
For most auctions, especially when I started auctioneering, it was like, what if nobody's in the room? What do you do? And you have to keep going. It's just one of those things you do. But if this was at, I guess it must, they're probably getting more publicity now because the piece, nobody showed up, but because of this piece didn't sell, they may sell it afterward. But I did one auction for Julian's, and it was a sports auction, and it was soccer jerseys and all kinds of things. And there were just a handful of people in the room, but hardly anybody was online. And I went through almost 100 lots in one, I think it was a half an hour, because it was like, anybody, anybody? No? Okay, we'll pass this one. Next lot.
Bueller. Bueller.
I know. It was one of the worst. But it does happen. Sometimes it's just like, oh, you think that it's going to be great, and this is going to do this. And that's when it, when you get a little, it's like, wait, what, anybody, please put your hand.
Well, you know, I think the only time that I recall something like that was when we were at Toya's, and they used to do the Christmas sale, which was really kind of fun. It was in November, and they had a lot of vintage and antique Christmas decorations. And usually at the end of the auction is when they do the, air quotes, the box lots for Christmas things. And a lot of times people didn't, because you didn't know what was in them, you had to be there in person to purchase.
Yeah, there was no phone bidding. And
no phone bidding, no online.
Just against everyone in the room. That was it.
And by the end of the day, as these marathon sessions came to a close, this was sort of the last hour or so of the auction. And I remember one particular sale where I think there were two people in the room. That was it for the entire hour. And I remember Tim, he was flying through these lots. Usually if you do 100 lots an hour, he was flying through these things, and I think he probably got through over 100 lots in maybe, what, 45 minutes or something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is kind of odd to see that happen, but I don't know. It not to have anybody show up, that is really something. That would really weird.
Well, and one final thing here. Now, only three people showed up for this auction, and that was Sandro Botticelli's Man of Sorrows. But the three bidders that showed up, it sold for $45 million. So even yes. though there were only three bidders, and the auctioneer said it was kind of disappointing because it wasn't as exciting as it could have been, but it still sold for $45 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that old saying, it's not the quantity, it's the quality.
Yes, you have the three right people there. Well, make it exciting, you know, or whatever. Yeah, I guess they were expecting, I don't know what they were expecting. If they were expecting, you know, the Salvador Mundi going back and forth, you know, for half a billion, but 45 million is still respectable.
And that's no chump change. Come on, that's a lot of money.
I think that they were expecting it to go much higher because I think it just sold right at the low estimate or something, and then with the buyer's premium, it brought it up to $45 million. So, but look, it's sold, and you know, again, it's what Greg said. You had the right people there. So those three people,
and it only takes two in an auction. It only takes two. So it's not, like I said, it's really not about the quantity. It's about the quality of the bidder. And that's not just in art. It's just in general when at auction, you can have a room full of people sitting in there, but only, like I said, only two people end up bidding on an item. And that's just the way auction is. So, but if there's nobody there to bid, that's a problem.
I was going to say, Tim, as an auctioneer, when you face that, I mean, your job is to get the highest price possible. So even if there's only three people bidding and you get the highest price possible, you have to feel good about it.
Most definitely. And you're going back and forth. You're doing, And look, the market is going to tell you where this should sell. And you are a facilitator. You're not manipulating. And you're just making sure anyone else, you know, everyone has an opportunity. That's what goes into being the auctioneer. But if it's going to stop and this is where it is, nope, I'm done. Okay, they're done. Let's move on. And, you know, it sold. Look, at any time anything sells, that's great. In my book, I just think it's be happy and move on. Go to the next one.
Now, speaking about moving on, how long are you in Cleveland?
just till tomorrow. Fly out tomorrow to Phoenix. So I'll be just finishing up a big estate. It was really great. Yesterday had a lot of my fellow team members from Hindman on site. We had it's a Native American collection. They also have some jewelry. So our gemologist was there. We also had our generalist from Chicago was in. We have a Cleveland rep who's here. So she picked up Margaret and myself yesterday. So my assistant Margaret is here. So we had a number of people on site, and it was great. We were able to just go through. Today we have, there's a big train room, so we saved the trains for today. But and then there's other decorative arts that our generalist is going to go through. So we'll be done today, and then fly out to Phoenix for another estate, and then fly home on Friday. So,
and Greg, you're keeping the home fires burning.
I am. As a matter of fact, I am project managing right now the renovation of our lanai. We're enclosing it and making it part of our dining room and interior. So today they're pouring the concrete. So that's my job this week, is to make sure that all of that works well.
You're getting rid of your lanai?
Well, yeah, we're enclosing it because we need the space inside, because we do a lot of entertaining.
We have a screen room.
We still have a screen room on the outside,
which I call bird cages. Yeah, on the outside.
So. Yeah,
yeah, the bird cage.
So, but we don't really get a chance to use the lanai that much. So we decided, let's just make it interior. So we have a bar, and you know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. So I'm looking forward to that. And they're going to be mixing the concrete and pouring the floor. And, you know, from here on out, everything is starting to move very quickly. So
all right,
that's my project.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week. Have a great week.
Hey,
that
you
sounds
too.
Great.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack, appraise this. Of course, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.